Hello, everyone. Welcome to Post ProRes, the August 2024 edition. And if you're wondering, what were they talking about off air when they just came on? It's like we were just wondering that if you do StreamYard, you know, you hit the go live button and then it like spins a little. We usually doesn't take this long. And we were like, it's gonna get started. And then Karen was like, is it going live? And it's like, no. It's
always
now.
When I say something that it decides to be like, oh yeah, actually, by the way, dot dot dot.
That's right. So, anyways, I'm WH Park with Karen Peterson, the Empress of Post Wrestling, and you know, Karen, we were talking a bit off air, and you just did a G1 review with Kate from Montreal. Did she acknowledge you as the Empress?
She most certainly did.
Oh, there you go.
You have made the Empress into a thing. People have
we manifested
me.
Into
you,
actual
you have
merchandise.
Impressed upon the people that I am the Empress.
That's right. the we've got a T-shirt out of this.
I sure do at chop-tees.com.
That's right. We'll talk about chop-tees in a sec because I have yet another T-shirt. And hoodie
to
plug.
Merch machine, my friend.
Well, hey, when you got it, you got it. What can I say? What can I say? Except I, you know what? Here's the thing, Karen. I'm always excited to do these shows with you. I am fucking exhausted.
Same.
Honestly, yeah, I am so fucking tired. Like, I had an awesome weekend because my boy from Chicago, Scrump from PWTcast came down just to hang out with the boys from Poison Rana. He stayed with them at the BDE Towers, came to see me, even though he had strep throat.
Oh,
thank God,
gosh.
He did not give it to me or anyone else in our party.
I mean, you guys have to get pretty close in order for that to happen. So,
but we had a good time, him and me just hanging out. Rich came in on Friday night late, so we could not meet with him because it would have been a bit much for my good friend Rich Van, and we all met up Saturday, watched Deadpool Wolverine, hung out a bit, then we drove through the god awful traffic of fucking Toronto. Let me tell you, I love living here. I do, honestly. It has its ups and downs, but I do love living here. But the traffic in the city is terrible. It's so bad because whoever plans when construction happens and road closures is a fucking idiot. It's like whoever books New Japan Pro Wrestling, they're a fucking idiot.
I've driven in Toronto. If you hate the traffic in Toronto, you would hate the traffic in Orlando far, far, far more.
But I see, Karen, now I don't know when that was when you last drove in Toronto, because it might be the same as Orlando now. Who knows?
It was 2018, like last time New Japan and Ring of Honor did a show.
I'm pretty sure it's probably worse than 2018. But anyways, I had a good time. You can hear about the exploits of myself. Scrump, Rich Van, and John Pollock.
The boss himself.
That's right. And our Korean dinner and subsequent visit to a bar. Afterwards, we joined by Wei Ting. It was great. He escaped from his cottage to come see us. Not to see me, but to see Rich and Scrump, because he's very fond of those two. And me to some extent, of course, too, as well. But, and John. But he sees John all the time, so it's not really special to see John. For me, it is. I love seeing John. But anyway, that's the finale of our Fox X, which you are part of, by the way, reviews over at MCU Later. And we had a good time covering almost all of the X-Men films. We're going to have an announcement soon about some other reviews we're going to do besides the upcoming Agatha all long show over on Disney Plus, but a lot of interesting stuff going to be happening from MCU Later, because one Wei Ting messaged us and he said, guys, like, you got anything else you want to do besides just like whatever scheduled on Disney? Because like, I really enjoy these. And I'm like, thank you. That really means a lot to me. And it means a lot to Rich. And so we decide we're going to try to provide more content over at MCU later.
Heck yeah.
But guess what? It's not, this show is for the freeloaders. And I appreciate all the freeloaders. Yeah, I really
you are the prince of the paywall, Mr. Park.
But no, actually I'm not. That would be John Way. Actually, you know, like I think you and Bruce do a lot of content that's on the Patreon, right? On the cafe side of things. So I just do one show. It's MCU Lighter. But listen, that stuff's not free. That's just not for the freeloaders. That's for paying customers of the cafe who want their fucking double espresso, whatever the fuck you're going to order. Your fucking one milk, one sugar. I don't know. But you know what? I'll save this. We got to talk about rating system for the G1. I got to think of one before Saturday.
You haven't. See, I just brought back ice cream. That's
nah, what I'm gonna right do, now. I'm going to do something different.
Well, it's Florida and it's hot. So it's either that or, like, you know, Bruce has the whiskey thing going
on. Yeah, no, I want to do something different. I'm going to do something different. No food. Maybe something. I did movies one time. I think I did Star Wars films. And
use venues and Japanese air conditioning. Oh. Just
good idea. Woman. Well, the bottom, like a total shit match would be like,
first ring the dead of winter.
No, it would be, that's not so bad. I've been in the winter. It's fine. It would be Sumo Hall in August for the G1 finals because that guy almost died. I literally almost fucking died in that building.
Don't die. Anyway, rule number one.
Anyways. So MCU later, check that out. We just did Deadpool Wolverine. Spoiler filled. So if you have not seen Deadpool Wolverine yet and you're a Patreon member, you want to go hear what was really a fun episode, then you should go watch it first. Pay up and then enjoy the shenanigans with myself, Rich Fan, and John Paul. Like it was a fun show. But, you know, on that show, like, or the show before, I, you know, to hype John's appearance on the finale, Karen, I let it slip that John is one of the top whitest people I know at post wrestling. And so John was like, I'm the whitest person WH knows. And I'm like, no, I didn't say you're the whitest person I know, John. I said you're one of the whitest people I know. And I just want to say that he's in the top five. Okay.
So top five.
There is a top five. And I will say John Pollock is not number one on that list. I would say he's probably hovering around three or four. Okay.
Now there are two. How does the ranking get demarcated? Like what are the qualifiers to put for placement as in
it depends on how many, you know. Well, like color your skin helps.
I mean,
you know,
the challenge of the melanin, yes.
But it's based on like what I deem like, I know, like things you do, activities you do, like how you cook, what kind, how you raise your children, how you drive, what kind of music you like, things yes. like that. Things Got like it. That. Those are, I'm not going to reveal them necessarily because I think it takes away the mystique, but. I will tell you, John is not the whitest person I know. And I said on MCU Later finale that if you want to know the top three, you're going to have to pay up. We're going to have to create a new tier at the cafe to find out that ranking because I don't think it's not for the freeloaders. You're listening
not.
To this. You go, who's the fucking whitest person you know? And it's like,
you don't get that.
It is someone, listen, and this is all post adjacent. So it's people related to post wrestling. Okay. It could be writers on the site. Could be guests, frequent guests on shows. Could be other hosts, content creators like yourself and myself. Karen, you're not in the top three.
Yes. So. Thank God.
But you,
I'm in the top five, aren't I?
You have done at least one show. With one of the top two. I'll say that. But anyways, you're so red right now. You can't be the whitest person I know right now.
No, I have a sunburn because it's Florida and I'm part vampire. And yeah, I'm just so relieved I'm not in the top three.
Yeah. So
but that still means that there's a possibility I'm either number four or number five.
Well, you know, John's either four, three or four. That's all I'll say. So actually, I know who the top two are. Okay. I here's a clue, everyone. I've either met them all the time, or I've met them at least twice in my life. I won't say who. That's it. That's all you get. You know, I will say this. I will reveal who's not in this top five, and that's John Cena. Okay. John Cena is not even in the top 10 of the whitest people I know, even though he's a Caucasian gentleman.
Man, so, I didn't want to be in the top five.
You know, the top six, who's number six is Brent from New Jersey. What? Yeah, I said it. And he's not even white, technically speaking. So there you go. Anyway, let's talk about Japanese wrestling. What do we have on the docket? We're gonna start off. Karen's gonna lead the show. We're gonna talk about Marigold. We're gonna talk about Stardom. When we get to Stardom, I want to talk about probably my favorite story in wrestling in the last couple of months is in Stardom. I feel. And we'll talk about that.
Interesting.
And then we're going to kind of look at the standings of the G1 so far and what we think of the G1 so far. And in preview, the shows I will review with my good friend Eric Marcotte, a.k.a. El Hijo del Sonata, because he wishes he was the son of Sonata. He loves this match. He loves this man so much, maybe like a father.
His love of Sonata rivals my love for Sonata.
No, I think it eclipses it, Karen. Oh yeah, I went there. I think Eric Marcotte loves Seiya Sonata.
Wow,
more than you. And I can, you know what? Maybe on. Listen, folks. Tune in. You're gonna have to pay up to hear the review with me and Eric Marcotte because. I'm going to make him prove how much more he loves Sonata.
Wow.
And the Empress.
Wow.
On air. Oh yeah. That's gonna happen.
Wow. Why do you have to hurt me like this, WH?
And it's not for the freeloaders.
No, absolutely not. The priestess of the paywall says so. Pay up.
That's right. Cheapskates. That's right. And we're gonna talk about the lineup for the N1 Victory Tour coming up later this in August. You know, actually, I on paper, the N1 actually appeals to me more than the G1. And we'll talk about why, maybe. And then finally, we're going to preview an upcoming card for to benefit Yoshihiro Takayama and his medical bills, Takayama Mania Empire. And it looks like a really fun card. So we'll talk a bit about that to close the show. But let's get into the world of Joshi. And we're going to run down some recent happenings in the world of Marigold. And what do you got for us, Karen?
Well, I mean, do you want to lead with the biggest news about Marigold right now? Or do you want to build up to it? Well, you know, our everybody's favorite girl, all the one who the people love, our girl Julia, has it finally confirmed that the countdown to her leaving Marigold has begun. She announced on this past weekend that the show that they are going to have in Korakuen Hall on the 19th of August will be her last match with Marigold for the foreseeable future. Do with that what you will. And then she announced that she'll have a countdown of matches leading up to that final match on the 19th. At the very end of that show, it was a really good promo. You know, Mai Sakurai, when she left Stardom, everyone was kind of questioning why she would be the one to just tag along after Julia, like as if she was just Julia's like pupil, perpetual pupil. And Sakurai said to her, she's like, people keep telling me that, you know, I'm going to be your student forever. And that's not who I am. You're leaving us. But I want to have a singles match with you. I don't believe she's ever had that. So, you know, she left Cosmic Angels originally to join DDM because she was so inspired by Julia. And she, under Julia's learning tree, she's been shaped into a pretty solid wrestler. Is she one that's going to be in the conversation for like the winners of the Dreamstar Grand Prix? Probably not. But she's grown exponentially since joining DDM and then leaving the company to help establish Marigold. So Julia's final match will be against Sakurai in a singles match. And then leading up to that, she has a bunch of matches that are set up. Some have participants TBA, but she's decided that in these matches, there'll be either opponents that she wants to wrestle against or people she wants to tag with or wrestle with. So on the third, actually this coming weekend at Kitajima Park Gymnasium, Julia will be tagging with Mirai and Sakurai against Nagisa Nozaki, Chiaki, and Bozilla. Sunday at the Hiroshima Industrial Exhibition Hall, Julia and Nanae Takahashi, that's a combination I never thought I would say, will be wrestling against Koki Amare and Chikagoto, who debuted when Marigold launched earlier this year. Next weekend at Espoir Isanuma, I have no idea where these places are. I believe Julia will have a singles match against Miku Aono, who is one of the current champions. She is the United National Champion at this point. So the question becomes, how Julia is going to be exiting the company? Is it going to be her putting over the other talent, or is she going to pull an Okada and just bury everyone on her way out?
Well, if I might interject, I do not think like Rossi Ogawa books like that.
Correct.
He's an old school pro wrestling booker. So I think she's gonna get some wins for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
I think primarily in the tag matches.
Yeah.
Or she's going to lead into someone on her team getting the pin. But I do not think she's beating any champions. I do not think she's going to win the match against Mai Sakurai. I think
I think
for all the criticism she got when she left Ice Ribbon to join Stardom, she is a pro.
Yeah.
She lost her hair in a match. She fulfilled the stipulations of that.
Yep.
And because
only more powerful when she shaved her head.
she's old school. I want to do things in a traditional way. I think that's why she left Stardom to go, because she wants to her career for before she goes to probably the WWE.
Yeah.
Is she wants her career shepherded by someone she trusts and thinks knows what they're doing with wrestling booking, and that's Rossi Ogawa. So I think Miku Aono is probably a time limit draw.
Yeah.
or Miku Aono is going to get the win over. And I think she should get the win. I think you have to make all your champions look strong on the departing star. And I don't care if it's predictable. It's what you should do in wrestling.
Yep. I would agree with that completely. And then let's see, on the 11th, which is next, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, Julia will be tagging with X and Double X. We don't know who they are. I can assure you, gentle readers, I am neither X nor Double X. I'm not going to Japan to wrestle with Julia in this match. Against Nanae Takahashi, Mai Sakurai, and Nao Ishikawa. And then the Day of Destiny will be the 19th at Korakuen Hall. Julia's final countdown will be Julia versus Mai Sakurai.
All right, so for the 11th show, I'm assuming these people are outsiders. That's why they're X and Double X. What if they're people from Ice Ribbon?
Honestly, now this is me being very selfish and fairly certain it would never happen. I would like one of them to be Suzu and the other one to be Risa Sera, but I don't think Stardom is going to let that happen. Because...
Well, there's other people from Ice Ribbon who do not wrestle for Stardom.
Yeah. I'm not that familiar with who she has history with besides Tsukasa Fujimoto, which could be one.
Well, that's what I think it is. It's Tsukasa.
I mean, that'd be pretty rad,
and,
honestly.
Yeah, I think it's who's her tag partner in Best Friends?
Arisa Nakajima, but I think she's retired or retiring. Like, she's on her retirement road right now.
Well, maybe one of them is going to be an appearance.
I mean, that'd be
for this.
That'd be,
so
that would be pretty swell.
My guess is that Tsukasa Fujimoto and Arisa Nakajima will be X and Double X in a match that would have, you know, them facing across the ring from Nanae Takahashi, which I think would be cool.
Yes.
They're no strangers to one another.
Yeah.
And yeah, and like, listen, maybe part of that is like, hey, we'll get more dates for him from Fujimoto and Nakajima. Like, we, part of her retirement tours, maybe she gets to do some dates with Marigold and get some Marigold talent on, you know, her final show as an active wrestler. And so yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, you never know. Like, you know, Ogawa makes all these nice deals with outside promotions.
Yeah.
And outside talent. So we'll see.
I just want, you know, at this stage in the game, I know that, you know, there is how her whole departure was handled and everything. And, she, you know, when I spoke with her, Julia was very candid about learning her lesson about how she needed, how she didn't necessarily do things the way that she would have been best for everybody. So it's one of those things where I would love to see that fence mended and get a little bit of closure in that sense. But yeah, so that's Julia's on, she's on the clock.
That's right.
Who's going to pick her up? We don't know, but you know, I know where I would want to see her.
I think where you want to see her is probably where she's going to go. That's what I think.
Not that I say, yeah, I want to run into her in the supermarket or anything, but
I think they've been hinting at it. The place she's going to go, they've been hinting at it pretty strongly.
Including
so,
having champions that are currently there calling her out by name on TV.
That's right.
So, but yeah, so that aside, well, our Marigold world champion, Sarie, she apparently has a fractured wrist, but she is expected to still participate in the Grand Prix. So, you know, Julia fractured her wrist, she got better, and then Sarie got the next one. But she's in a cast right now, but she isn't vacating any of the championships that she does have. So, speaking of the Grand Prix, Marigold will have their Dreamstar Grand Prix 2024, will run through August 31st through September 28th. For those keeping score, August 31st is the final day of Stardom's five-star Grand Prix. So I don't know time-wise if there's going to be show overlap or if one's going to be in the morning, like morning meaning like 2 o'clock in the morning our time, and then the other one starts at like 4 o'clock in the morning our time. But there is a bit of overlap with the opening of one and the closing of the other. The current participants that have been announced for this tournament, I don't know if it's supposed to be in 2 blocks or in 1 giant block, because I didn't see any block breakdown, just the listing of who's participating.
I would imagine they're going to do blocks.
Two smaller blocks?
I think so. That's my guess.
Utami Hayashishita will be there. Miku Aono, Mirai, Nanai Takahashi, Natsumi Shozuki, Mai Sakurai, Koki Amore, Misa Matsui, Chiaki Bozilla, Suri, and Nagisa Nozaki are the official announced participants. Now, this coming weekend, on the 3rd, there will be a qualifying match against Chikagoto versus Naoi Ishikawa for one spot. And then there are 2 spots that will be competed for on Sunday the 4th. One will have Kizuna Tanaka versus Zeta Steele, who is one of the international talents that's over there. I believe she's American. And then Victoria Yuzuki will go against Myla Grace, who's from Ireland. There is also says wrestlers from other promotions, but I don't know how many other wrestlers they're planning on including.
Now,
where they're getting them from.
That's right. Like, they could be American stars coming in.
Could be. I assure you, it is not me. I am not. I'm not going to Japan.
Well, I mean, specifically, I think they're probably from NXT. That's what I think. I think
they're going to get bold proclamation.
Well, I mean, we've talked about the N1.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that is so fair. I think it's one of those things where I want confirmation of where our girl Julia's landing first.
Yeah,
but if those spots are announced, it all depends on when she leaves. If on the 19th after her match, if she's on a plane the next day and coming to the States, or during the time between the 20th and the 30th, if they're going to announce who these participants are or announce before it.
I think as soon as she lands, Kairi Sane
be announced for it, would be cool. Or Dakota Kai, it would be cool, because they're not doing anything else right now.
I think as soon as she lands in the United States, she's going to be rolled out by the company that she's going to work for.
Yeah.
And then they're going to say, oh, by the way, Marigold will have, let's say, 2 wrestlers.
Yeah.
From NXT. Okay. I
mean, that would be cool.
I mean, I'd have to get like call up Davey Portman and ask him, Davey, like, who would you send to this? Who can they spare? Who do you think is good? Who would do you think would benefit the most?
I don't know if they'd benefit from it, but it would be a nostalgia throwback as if Blair Davenport goes.
That, I think that also be a big middle finger to stardom.
That I'm just saying.
Yeah, why not? Why not send her? You know, send Blair Davenport.
She's not really doing anything either right now.
Yeah, I haven't watched NXT in a long time. Like, I don't think like it would be like Roxanne or
I don't think unless Roxanne were to drop the championship, I don't think they'd send her.
No, I don't. My feeling, you know, from what I you know follow through our friends at Poison Rana is, I think they're pretty high on keeping her a very strong champion. Yeah. But yeah, so
I've heard the name Sol Ruka thrown around a lot.
Oh, and she does that crazy kind of diamond cutter move, like where she bounces off the second rope. It's I think it's really cool and athletic, but I don't think it's a very practical move. But hey, you know what? Fucking do it in Corrigan Hall. It'll pop people in Corrigan Hall for sure.
They will love it.
So there you go. You know what? Maybe we'll get a tweet from Davey, or he'll be on Poison Rana this week. And after watching this, he'll be like, this is who I would send to Mari Gold. And yeah, I look forward to if he does that.
I am curious. And then to wrap up, I mentioned earlier that Julia, you know, gave her farewell speech earlier this week on Tuesday at Mari Gold Summer Goldshine 2024 at Korakuen Hall. They crowned new Twin Star champions, which is their tag championship. But they had a mini tournament that was leading up to the crowning of the champions. So the semifinals were Mirai and Mai Sakurai versus Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki, with Sakurai getting the STF on Chiaki at 11:18. The second semifinal was Miku Aono and Natsumi Shozuki against Koki Amura and Chika Goto, with Aono getting the pin at 12:53 after the buzzsaw kick on Goto. And then the finals was Mirai and Sakurai defeating Miku Aono and Natsumi Shozuki, with Mirai having a massive lariat on Aono, like not knocked her out of her shoes almost at 20:52. So again, Sakurai challenged Julie after the show. And then, of course, Nanae Takahashi and Nao Ishikawa challenged for the twin star belts. And then surprisingly, Koki Amore called Miku Aono out because she wants a shot at the United National Championship.
Yeah, I let me just tell you, twin star tag champions, I love it. It's so Arasan. Everything about this company is so Arasan and like old school fucking Japanese wrestling. United
the belts
National
are
titles.
Gorgeous. They're
great,
so,
great. It's so nice. I love
pretty.
This. I love this company. It's so fucking cool.
There's so much thought given to it. And I love that, you know, they're getting, you know, Sonny does a lot of the English commentary and a lot of the English promotion for the company. But the fact that they get Stu Fulton on the call for these bigger shows, Stu knows so much stuff. And I can't say enough good things about him. Like, he makes it very accessible to the wider audience.
I think it's the benefit of being on the Wrestling Universe platform. One, it's the best platform to watch wrestling on. It's so
hands
easy
down.
To use. So easy
it's,
to use.
And it's affordable.
You get so much. I don't know. We're not plugging
so
WrestleMania. Listen,
we're not sponsored by Wrestling Universe, however.
Everyone knows. They know like how good that platform and how we wish New Japan World would fucking learn and copy that platform and put fucking Stardom on it.
If they are now Stardom's parent company, there is no reason for them not to develop a singular platform for both of that to be together.
Bushi Fight Universe. Bushi Universe. Just fucking do it.
Just stop being cowards about it. Build a better platform.
You people at Bushiroad are so fucking cheap. Seriously. Like, just do it. That's how you will get more people watching your fucking product. Not putting fucking Callum Newman in the fucking G1. No one fucking cares. Okay? I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're we still gotta talk about Stardom. I don't think Callum Newman's in Stardom, but
no, but he's in the fucking G1 because
he's in the G1.
You know, well, that'll get the Western audience to watch the G1 more. No, it fucking won't. No offense to the guy, but no one fucking cares about him. Anyways, sorry. Let's move on to Stardom.
Okay, moving over to Stardom. On the 27th, over last weekend, they had two shows in Sapporo at Sapporo Wonder Rendezvous. Yeah, I guess it's the katakana version of rendezvous, which it sounds a lot better in en français, but that's just
maybe rendezvous. Maybe yeah. It's like a love hotel.
Oh God, I hope not. Well, I mean the name of the venue is also Chateau's Gâteau Kingdom Sapporo in Hokkaido. Like,
you never know. That sounds like a love hotel.
Venues, please. It's really, really long. There was a 5-star Grand Prix Red Stars participation descension final. So basically, they did do a series of qualifiers for some spaces in this year's 5-star. Yuna Mizumori defeated Waka Tsukiyama. So all you Moon fans out there, sorry, are the best girl is not going into the 5-star this year.
No, Waka, why?
Waka is not in the 5-star again. Mizumori defeated her at 9:30 with a lariat. So Starlight Kid and Company, which includes Azumi Suzu Suzuki, Mei Sayada, and Yu Amasaki, have announced their new stable name, and I hate it. It does not suit most of them, and it does not suit Suzu in particular. So I don't know. They're trying to do very, like, you know, spray paint, like bubble letters and pastel everything. And I think after several years of Starlight Kid in all black, it's like my head spinning trying to get her, like trying to reconcile her in like light colors again. But their group name is Neo Genesis, and all I can think of is Neon Genesis Evangelion.
That's what I thought.
I don't know what the name means, and I'm getting frustrated with, as you call it, katakana English, or, you know, wase ego, or it's just like, this sounds cool in English, but it has either no meaning, or the spelling's weird, or the pronunciation doesn't match up, so...
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, it's your chance to travel back to November 2004 as Wei Ting and I review WWE Raw featuring Trish Stratus and Lita headlining the show. Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson are going to be covering New Japan's Destruction in Kobe event, and MCU Later tackles Agatha All Along. All of that, plus Rewind to SmackDown and Collision Course weekly, and ad-free versions of Rewind to Raw and Dynamite. $6 a month unlocks it all at postwrestlingcafe.com.
You know, my theory is...
What is your theory?
My theory is the person who came up with this name either is a big Evangelion fan and didn't want to get sued. So they just call it, instead of Neon Genesis, it's just Neo Genesis, and we won't say Evangelion.
It's close enough.
Imagine it was called Neo Genesis Angels.
Yeah.
But they already have Cosmic Angels. But yeah. It's either that, Karen, or this person is a big fucking... video game nerd, and they named they didn't have the game system.
Wow, yeah, that's the Neo Geo and the Sega Genesis, just roll it all into one. That's fine. There was a Future of Stardom Championship match where Rina it continues her mad streak of as Future of Stardom champion, defeating Rana Yagami with the pink double after 12 minutes and 16 seconds. That was making her 10th successful defense. Now she is tied with her older sister, Hanan, as the longest holder of consecutive defenses of the Future of Stardom Championship. So, of course, what happens when you're about to break someone's record? That person comes out. So Hanan, who has no need, she's won the Cinderella tournament, but she's going to make the challenge for the Future of Stardom Championship, because what else are they going to do with Hanan? Because they didn't let her win. They're not letting her win the white belt, obviously. But that's a rant for another day. And then on the main event of this particular show, speaking of the Wonder of Stardom Championship, Saori Ano, as the 22nd champion, defended against Natsupoi. And Natsupoi defeated her with fairy magic after 19 minutes and 16 seconds. This was Ano's first defense after getting the back belt back from Miko Wata of Sendai Girls. And Natsupoi, she's been in the conversation for the white belt for several years now, ever since she pretty much stopped doing the high-speed championship, you know, spiral with Azumi and everyone else. I'm curious to see who challenges her for it. I'm curious to see if she can carry it until the end of the year. But yeah, I'm happy for her. Let's see. So that's that. And we'll get, I'll talk about Five Star Grand Prix after we talk about probably the most notable happening, because there was 2 days, two rendezvous in Sapporo. Night two was Sunday the 28th, same venue, roughly the same attendance, which was right around 700. Saya Kamatani defended her high-speed championship against May Sayre. Sayre won it back with in 8 minutes and 39 seconds with checkmate. So Kamatani has lost all of her friends in Queen's Quest. She's lost her title. She's all by herself. Put a pin in that because we'll come back to it very shortly. There was a Blue Stars qualifier with against Lady C against Miyu Amasaki, former Queen's Quest buddies who are now going their separate ways. Amasaki defeated Lady C in 11:06 with the Amano Hashidate as her finisher. I don't know if that is a finisher with a pin or a submission, because I didn't watch this show because I was watching the G1. And then, of course, we get to the World of Stardom Championship, and I knew that when it was announced that it would be Micah defending against Natsuko Tora, that shenanigans would be afoot. So not only did Natsuko Tora defeat Micah in 19 minutes and 45 seconds with a Swanton Bomb, there was Mist involved, Kamatani was seconding, and just decided, you know what? She's going to throw caution to the wind. And you know what happened? Not only did Tora win the belt, Oedo Tai got a brand new coat of paint. They are now called Hate. H period, A period, T period, E period. I feel like somebody found a DARE, you know, drugs education t-shirt from the 1980s and said, hey, how about we do this and change the letters? I hate it. Kamatani has joined them. She is now the Phoenix Queen, and she spells Phoenix, P-H-E-N-E-X. I don't know why. And then Tora was like, you know what? I'm champion now. I don't need to be in the five-star Grand Prix. So she just gives her spot to Ruaka. Okay, sure.
Can we talk about, like, her haircut? Because, like,
she just cut it all off.
What the fuck? I was like, hey, wait. And I was talking to a friend who follows Stardom, and we were talking about it. And I was like, shit, you know what? Because, like, she's been denied this belt for so long. Hey, congratulations to her. I think it's long overdue.
I'm glad she won it. I just...
My theory is she cut her hair. They thought she was fucking Aja Kong. And then, oh, we got Aja Kong. Let's put the belt on her. Not realizing it was Natsuko Tora. Because I think that's how Stardom works these days.
I feel like since the departure in March and the establishment of Marigold and the quick trajectory that they've had in the last couple of months, it feels to me, and I know I'm not alone because I've talked to several of my friends who either cover Stardom or regularly watch it, that they are systematically stripping out everything that meant something to long-term participants or members of Stardom out of Stardom. Queen's Quest, gone. Uedo Tai, different name, same people, but it's gone. I have such mixed feelings about it because I want the company to succeed. I want the girls to succeed, but it's making it very hard for me to watch when I don't understand where, and like, I know people are like, well, just let it play out. I'm like, but none of this booking makes sense.
Mm. What does hate stand for? Do we know?
I'm still mad about it that I didn't even bother looking it up because I think the name is stupid. It feels like low effort. You have Tekla who speaks English, and that's the best name you could come up for your faction? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It feels like low rent Dragon Gate naming of a unit, like a heel unit. and usually Dragon Gate has pretty good fucking heel name units,
If you want to put it, get a new name, sure, no problem. But It just feels like there was no thought or effort put into it.
Well, can I just say, despite all this stupidity running rampant in this company and in different parts of it, they did present one of, I feel, one of my favorite storylines. And that's a storyline involving Soriano and Natsupoi.
Yes.
With Chomin in this match where Natsupoi finally got the white belt.
Yes.
She got it from her best friend, her longtime colleague friend, Soriano. And kind of like I was watching this great video on YouTube from presented by Stardom. And I just thought, this is so well done. It just really encapsulates their personal history, but also their professional history, like being partners,
yeah,
being rivals. And they've had some great matches with each other and against each other. And I just like, I love kind of like the detour it took where Soriano won the white belt. She was so happy to be the white, the Wonder Star and champion, because it's such an important belt still.
Yeah.
Because Io Shirai made it an important belt. Like, it was an important belt before, but Io Shirai made that belt just as important when she was the, because when Toni Storm was a red champion and hardly showing up because she was busy in fucking Brit Rez. All right. Io Shirai stayed in Japan and made that fucking white belt, yeah, like what it is. And I think it's an important belt to most wrestlers who wrestle in Stardom. You know, not as a gimmick, because it's like, shit, Io held this belt. And then, like, you know, when Momo was champion, she made that fucking belt mean something too. A lot of people make that belt mean something important. Saya Kamatani, yes, most recently as well.
Yes. Most arguably, since Io, probably her and Momo are the two names most heavily. Maybe even Julia and Tam had the belts, but Kamatani and Io's time with the belt are kind of head and shoulders above that.
So I think, you know, the detour she went with fighting Miku Wada, who she also has history with,
yeah,
in Sendai Girls. And to see, like, and for me, it's really nice because I follow, like, Sendai Girls, you know, and I'm so familiar with Miku Wada because I really think
she's
a great wrestler.
Yeah.
And she's like my kind of wrestler. Like, she does, like, you know, she's like Kawada, you know, she it's, everything about her is appealing. Like, her gear is top notch. Her fucking work is so crisp. And like, that makes sense. They kind of had a program in Sendai Girls. Now she's coming, she won the white belt. What the fuck? That's awesome. And then Sari's reaction to that. And then Natsupoi, like, trying to console her and being her emotional support, her getting it back and winning the Sendai Girls world title and everything. What a great storyline. It's really compelling, especially if you're someone like me who has always kind of wanted Soriano. Like, I know I started following Stardom when she was kind of still in the last stages of her first run there.
Yeah.
And then she went to the Indies. She did, like, with Natsupoi. And you know, that's why it was, like, really cool to see, you know, Natsupoi rejoin Stardom. And then when Soriano shows up, I'm like, what? She's finally back? I was, like, so happy for her, because I think that's a platform she needs to be on because she's so talented. And no offense to any of the places she worked before, but I think, you know, she has a star quality that I think should be seen by as many people as possible.
I agree.
So it's great. I just think, you know, for all the kind of warts that I find in Stardom, because I don't really like, and I think there is a deliberate, like you're saying, Karen, I totally agree with you. I think there is a deliberate part on Bushiroad management to dismantle things that make Stardom Stardom, you know? And so, like, within that, though, like, I found this really compelling, like, journey for Soriano and, yeah, and with Natsupoi to over the white belt. And it makes that title so important. I would say right now, for me, the white belt is on a higher level of prestige.
Yeah. I would agree.
Than the red belt right now. And that's no offense to Natsupoi Tora. I hope she gets a long run, but if it's going to be filled with interference, weapons, and, like, you know, no clean finishes, I'm sorry, that doesn't interest me. I don't, yeah, like that in any Japanese wrestling. I'm, you know, correct, the only promotion I ever tolerated that in was Dragon Gate, because Dragon Gate never wanted to be purely a pro-res promotion. They wanted to be Lucha and a mix of Japanese wrestling, and in Lucha that happens, right? So I allowed that. I accepted that as a fan of early Toriumon and early Dragon Gate. But I don't want to necessarily want to see that in, you know, people, what would they do then Joshi WWE? You're fucking stupid. No, it's like, there's a lot of stuff in Stardom that I, when I started watching it, it didn't, there was stuff like that. Of course, Oedo Tai was full of that. But, you know, the championships were, for the most part, you know, like, let's have clean finishes with the, with this belt and, like, no interference. Yeah. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the red belt. But for me, the most, I want to see Natsupoi's title reign here. I want to see, like, can she, you know, like, rise to the occasion?
Yeah.
And I think she can. I think she's so talented. And like, she has that. I think this is the thing that she needs to get to that next level in the overall Joshi scene, not just in Stardom, but to be like, okay, she's on a level. We're going to talk about her like we talk about, like, you know, like Julia. We're going to talk about her like we talk about Mayu and yeah, other people in Japanese wrestling. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm my fingers are crossed. I you know, as much as I bang on like Bushiroad products, I want Stardom to succeed still. It's just, yeah, it's sometimes it's hard for me to see that, but they did provide this amazing storyline for me. So check that. If nothing else, just check out Sari Anno, Natsupoi, Mika Wada storyline. It's so great.
But and that's my thing, is like, in that vein, I need that level of thought and planning and booking and you know, presentation, whether it's video vignettes or whatever, for everybody else too. Like, there needs to be that, it can't be just a handful of people that get that particular level of production value and presentation, and everybody else who's there week in, week out, just trying to get by or just trying to make a headway in the company, they're not getting that. I need to be consistent.
It's almost like there's multiple writers in Stardom. Some people are assigned this division, these people, and the tag division or the high speed division. And thankfully, the white belt seems to be under the jurisdiction of someone pretty smart. So
yeah,
there is that.
So of course, later this month, the series that got me my Giget post, the 5-star Grand Prix, is coming back, and the blocks have been solidified. They have filled in all the vacancies. They have 4 blocks this year. They've got Red Stars A and B and Blue Stars A and B. So in Red Stars A, we've got Maika, Hazuki, Ruaka, because Natsuko Tori gave her that spot, Natsupoi, Konami, Manami from Sendai Girls, and Yuna Mizumori, who qualified in the earlier in the week. Then Blue Stars A is Saori Anno and Shuri, Starlight Kid, Xena, Koguma, AEW's Anna Jay, and Miyu Amasaki, who also qualified. Red Stars B, of course, you can't have a 5-star without Mayu Iwatani, Tam Nakano, Momo Watanabe, Azumi Meisera, Saya Ida, and JT, Just Tap Out's Tomoka, Inaba. And then in the last block, Blue Stars B, Suzu Suzuki, Saya Kamitani, Hanan, your girl, Saki Kashima.
My wife.
Your waifu for life, Rana Yagami, Tekla, and a returning Risa Sarah. So Suzu versus Risa is going to be a bloodbath, and I'm very excited to see it. But yeah, so that's what's going on in Stardom. Their 5-star is starting, I believe, next weekend, and is going until the 31st of this month.
Now, which block are you the most excited about?
Ooh, honestly, I would say the Red Stars A, because it has Hazuki, who should win the white belt or win a 5-star Grand Prix, but also because it has Konami and Natsupoi in it. They did a very good job of spreading everybody out. I feel like Red Stars B is a bit top-heavy, because you have Mayu, Tam, and Momo, and Azumi, but usually those three typically tend to be spread apart across different blocks. Having them all in just kind of makes it a little lopsided, especially when you have Saya Ida, who is going to be fighting for her life against most of the people that are in this block.
So I'm like scrolling through like Stardom's website and like the page where like the blocks and all the pictures and all the names. It's really hard for me to decide which block I like the most, because I feel they all have like really like at least 2 or 3 participants that I'm like, I want to see all their matches, you know? Yeah. For me, I'm at the tie, I think, for me with Red Stars B, because like mm-hmm. you said, it is very top heavy, but I want to see like Momo Watanabe just wreck everybody.
Honestly, you know? Momo would be another one that she's done enough that she should be in. I mean, if you want to do, I don't know if they would want to do Momo versus Natsuko at the last match of the last show of this year together at probably their Dream Queendom or whatever they're going to have it on the end of the month.
No, I mean, just in her block though. You know what I mean? But, yeah. And then Blue Stars A, like it's got Shuri and Sariano and Kid and, you know, and I like Koguma. You know, come on, Filthy Tom, get with the program. Koguma's cool. You need to do the bear pose, my friend.
It makes me sad that Tom Lawler, friend of the show, is not a Koguma fan, or at least not. He's not a bear pose fan. Nah, I look forward publicly. I look forward to the day where they have historic crossover 2 and he has to fight Koguma, and she puts the bear ears and makes him dance.
He puts them on willingly. That's what's going to happen. That's right. I said it. I predicted it. But yeah, I think it's exciting. I think it's too long. It's a month long. This is the problem with it.
It's shorter than what it used to be, which was it starts in July and goes to the end of September. So the, like 3 weeks, like kind of like closer to how the G1 is structured is better, but it also eliminates, you know, who your usual weekend warriors, who would be the girls who are under the age of 18 and are still in high school. So
there you go. Any final notes about Stardom or any other Joshi before we move on, Karen?
Well, if you want all of my thoughts on Stardom or any other Joshi, I've got a column called Dream Slam Monthly, and the July issue came out last weekend, and it's got a whole mess of stuff. And for those who may not know, this month, the August edition will be released on September 7th. Easy to remember. It's my birthday. That is my present to the world because I'm going on vacation for 10 days. I'm going to be on a cruise ship. I have Wi-Fi, but I am not watching wrestling. I'm going to knit and drink and sightsee and have a good time. And I'm going to end up in Quebec City. And my mom, friend and fan of the show, she's going to be with me the whole time. So yeah, I'm going to celebrate 45 in style, but August Dream Slam Monthly will be in September. Don't come at me.
Is Mrs. Peterson like Blind Avenger or an MCU later a park mark?
I mean, she is a fan. She would watch more MCU later, but I can't make my mom pay for the paywall. she appreciates the work that you and Rich Fan do with MCU later. She also gets to overhear it when, you know, I'm recording at their house. When I record with you, when I record with Bruce. She babysits. She is de facto support of post-wrestling because she tends to babysit my dog so I can get some recording done.
Ms. Peterson, if you're listening to this, I don't know if you would be one of the wisest people I've ever met in my life because we have not met.
Well, she's originally from Montreal, so it is possible. But
listen, why isn't Kate going to make the trip out to meet you in person, IRL?
It could be that behind the scenes, myself and Miss Kate may be trading details for a potential meeting of the minds when we get
to maybe you can anoint her with a title because you are the Empress.
I mean, she could be the Queen of Quebec. We don't know. We gotta like sit and have we have to have like a royal conclave and kind of sort things out.
I feel like, we can't have a level like. Matching yours,
she's the on the AEW side of the country. I'm on the Japan.
So definitely, she can't be on the same level as you. I'm kidding.
She did play by play. She is beyond me. She's like way up there somewhere. She's an angel.
I'm just joking. You guys decide whatever you want. Just like maybe there's going to be a T-shirt coming out of this, but
I don't know.
You know, I just thought of a T-shirt idea for you, a new one.
Oh,
maybe something because your column is called Dream Slam Monthly. I wonder where you got that title from. But, you know, like it's inspired by an actual event, you know.
It is. But, you know, if we want to give credit where credit is due, you are responsible for the name. Well, I mean, you're responsible for me being at Post altogether, but you're also responsible for helping me come up with a name.
So I think, like, I know our good friend Richard Avian, a.k.a. the Dick Bird, Dickie Bird.
Huge is, fan. Is, love me some Richard
is now like thinking, how can I turn Dream Slam Empress into a t-shirt.
I mean, I have an idea of what I, if I were to make it into a t-shirt.
Well, you know what?
It might look like the old retro DVD cover or VHS cover. I don't know.
There you go. Well, maybe
an old school magazine cover. I don't know.
You and Mr. Baird should confer on that. I eagerly want the results of that conference.
If the people want it, they want it. Let me know. Because
you know who wants it? John Cena. John Cena wants that fucking shirt.
And my buddy Nate.
That's right. Nate Milton wants that fucking shirt. I want that shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Rich Fan wants that shirt.
I mean, you get credit for it because you kind of came up with the name. But
anyways, we'll talk more about merch before we end the show. Let's continue. Let's talk about the
Speaking of Japan tournaments.
Shin Nihon Pro Res. Shin Nihon Pro Res. Watchato for me, and that means I don't really enjoy.
Yada. No, not so good though.
とても悪いです。さやく?
It's the worst. It's not great.
It's not the worst. It's just I think it could be better.
Yeah.
I think it could be better. I don't think it would take much to make it better. I just think that there's laziness in how this company is run.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, it's your chance to travel back to November 2004 as Wei Ting and I review WWE Raw featuring Trish Stratus and Lita headlining the show. Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson are going to be covering New Japan's Destruction in Kobe event, and MCU Later tackles Agatha All Along. All of that plus Rewind to SmackDown and Collision Course weekly and ad-free versions of Rewind to Raw and Dynamite. $6 a month unlocks it all at postwrestlingcafe.com.
Anyways,
let's even Zelda's agreeing with you. She's like, so she's on your side on this one.
We're in the midst of the G1, Karen, and I'll be honest. I'm here. Here's a confession: I have not watched any of it. I'm going to cover two shows, and I'm going to go into it without having watched a single show beforehand. And you know what? I think it'll make for an interesting viewing experience for me because usually I keep up somehow with the G1.
Yeah,
I've just been so busy recently, honestly, like doing. I did my big biography episode about Jumbo Tsuruta over at the Long Winding Road. That was a lot of, research and trying, finding a guest in Cameron Lee and recording it. And then MCU Later was just like, wow, what a beast. We did this show every week and finding guests. Yeah. Anyways, you got such first world problems. It's true. I do. But anyways.
It's the curse of popularity. They want you on all the podcasts.
I am not watching any G1, but I am genuinely looking forward to covering Osaka and Nagoya with my good friend Eric, because he's one of the smartest people I know. I love talking to him about Japanese wrestling. We get him out of the MMA world, and we get him into talking about Japanese wrestling or wrestling in general. I enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Of course, I'm looking forward to doing the finals with you and Bruce. And we'll see how much I watch between this weekend and the finals. But I think it'll be interesting for me, and I think for our listeners to like see what I feel about. Can you go into the G1 blind? Like, can you just jump in the middle and watch these shows in isolation? I feel they should be the matches in of themselves should be able to tell a story to the viewer if you don't know what happened in the previous shows. That's also based on the commentary, and I will listen probably to the English commentary of this, God help me. But listen, here it's not just me. You know how many people who still watch New Japan complain to me about the English and I don't normally watch the English commentary, so I don't whatever. But I have people who still watch it on the regular. They say to me, "Good Lord." I'm not going to say who in particular they don't like, okay? But they do not enjoy. They say, WH, I wish I could, have at least a level of Japanese where I could just watch. I could just get 60% of the Japanese commentary and follow along. What? Well, I'm on my like almost 400 day streak on Duolingo. So there you go. I don't know.
Yeah, when I don't have to cover the shows with Bruce for the the site, I usually watch Japanese commentary, largely in part because it's one of the only ways I get to keep my listening skills sharp, because I really don't have many other ways other than watching copious amounts of anime and playing video games. And I'm like, sometimes I just want to watch the wrestling as it was originally presented. Yeah. But yeah, it's, again, but a lot of my frustrations with the G1 stems on how I can't watch it on the devices I have. But that's a rant we've had multiple times over. But it's also for me, this time of year is very much, I'm in the middle of returning student orientation, then I got new student orientation in 2 weeks. So basically I'm picking and choosing what I can watch and what I can't watch. And given that this G1 is considerably tighter and smaller than it has been in previous years, I should not have to sit through this many evil matches. I should not have to. If the G1 is supposed to be the grade one, the great ones, it should not be the good enough ones or the, you know, let's get our biggest merch movers in on this one. It kind of leaves me deflated knowing that I'm trying to watch what I consider one of the highest, like, litmus tests of actual professional wrestling, looking at it as a sport. But I still have to sit through lots of House of Torture shtick and an uncomfortable amount of dick jokes, to be perfectly honest.
See, this is why I say God help me when I have to watch the English commentary, because I have to listen to some juvenile, unprofessional banter.
Let's make dick toko jokes. Talk about penises.
It's not fucking funny. Girl, how fucking old are you two? Grow the fuck up. Anyways. Like, I'm on a podcast. No, you know what? It doesn't matter what I fucking say on this thing, you know, but I'm not making dick jokes. Anyways, sorry.
You're fine.
Let's talk about the current point standings. I just want to get this over with, this part of the show.
Yeah.
I want to talk about things I actually want to talk about. Current standings for all the wrestlers in the G1 in their respective blocks, A block, B block, as of the July 31st show in Yamaguchi at KDDI Ishin Hall. Number one in the A block with 10 points is fucking Evil.
He should not have 10 points. There is no reason for Evil to
He is likely to win his block, isn't he? Oh, God. God bless this man.
No, Zack Sabre Jr. needs to win the G1. I need this.
Speaking of ZSJ, he is number eight, so it is very likely he will rally and overtake Evil. So I have not watched any. Has he fought Evil yet?
I don't know. Let me check. Hold on.
While she's doing that, Gabe Kidd and his potty mouth at 6 points. Shota Umino in fourth place with 6 points as well. Callum Newman is flipping 4 points at fourth place. Oh my God. Eric Marcotte is not going to be happy about this. Sonata in sixth place behind Evil and Gabe Kidd and fucking Callum Newman with 4 points. SMDH. That's what he's doing right now. Shingo Takagi, seventh place with 4 points. Tetsuya Naito, eighth place. He's the fucking world champion at eighth place with 4 points. The Great Okan, what a travesty. This guy should be getting a push. 2 points, number nine, and at the bottom with one fucking win with 2 points. The man who made one of the dumbest career moves ever. And I'm saying this is indicative of his run in this fucking company. Jake Lee, fucking, like, or I'm sorry, should I call him Kaito Kiyomiya? Because he's this year's fucking Kaito Kiyomiya. 2 points, and I don't think he's rallying. He's not winning the fucking G1. Sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
No, you're fine. August 6th, Korakuen Hall. That's when Zack and Evil are wrestling.
There you go. Now, I'm going to say Zack rallies through.
God, I hope so.
TNDK neutralizes HOT. My boy Robbie Eagles takes out Show.
Just show him the way, please.
Maybe Show's got to join TMDK.
You know what? You know what? I would not be mad at that.
All right. Let's get on to the V flag. It's a six-way tie. Six points among six people. David Finley, number one, because I think of the wins he accumulated. He's got wins over these other people, so he's number one. Mm-hmm. Hinare at six. Jeff Cobb with 6 points. He's at third position. From AEW, Konosuke Takeshita, which we, how do you pronounce it, Karen?
Takeshita.
Konosuke Takeshita, big fan of the long and winding Royal Road t-shirt.
He's wearing it
on his fucking Instagram. God bless you, Konosuke. I love you, bro. Number five, Renda Rita. This is heel bullshit, House of Torture Renda Rita. This is where his career is going to be, at number five, mid. He's going to be fucking mid for the rest of his career as but this character.
He still has more points than Tetsuya Naito, who is the world champion right now.
He's on his last legs. This kid has his whole future ahead of him.
Number
six with 6 points, Yuya Uemura, the man with the former beautiful hair.
He looks just as handsome without it. Come for me. It's fine.
Wow.
Fight me.
I won't do that. I'm not stupid. Number seven, Hirooki Goto, 4 points. Number eight, Oleg Bolton, 4 points. Number nine, what the fuck? Yoda Tsuji, 4 points?
That is correct.
Okay, listen. I'm telling you, this man is going to rally.
He needs to.
He's going
to
rally. Okay, and number 10, my fellow Canadian, no, 10th place with 2 points. I mean, I think he'll join the sixth club. That might be his. I had a great showing last year. I thought he was one of the highlights of last year. And like, I think they're going to give him a couple more wins. Yeah. I don't think he's going to finish at 10. I don't think Oleg Bolton is going to finish ahead of El Fantasma.
I think they'll be tied at 8. That's what I'm thinking. But yes, our sweet boy, El Fantasma, or Emo P, as I'm calling him right now, because he cannot get over the heartbreak of Hikuleo leaving him. Just like, can the Chaos Dads just adopt El Fantasma at this point? Like, so somebody help this boy find his smile again, because I'm sad for him.
I heard from Adam Summers of the Big Audio Nightmare for the Observer. That he went, El Fantasma was on English commentary for one of these shows, and he said out loud, because he knows, like everyone else in English commentary, that no one in New Japan listens, like management, I mean, that he said Wrestle Universe has a better platform than New Japan World. God bless you, ELP. I take back every bad thing I ever said about you.
I appreciate the candor, but
he doesn't care, nor should he. He can work. He can get a job anywhere.
Oh, I know.
If he wants to stay in Japan, listen, Pro Wrestling Noah will take him in a fucking heartbeat.
They put the belt on him.
They probably would. They put the fucking national belt on him for sure. Absolutely. ELP, if he came over, oh yeah.
That belt, the hardcore belt, tag belt.
Well, we can get rid of the fucking hardcore, but I hate that belt. Oh, yeah. Anyways. Okay, Karen. Like, I'm going to say you're correct. A Block, Zack Sabre Jr., is gonna rally. He's gonna beat. Who's he gonna beat to go into the finals as the eight block winner? He's well, not. You know what? He's gonna defeat your boy and Eric's boy Sonata, because Sonata's gonna rally too.
That's fine.
All right. And then in B block, I think Yoda Tsuji will defeat. Who's he facing in the last fucking match? I don't even know.
Hold on. Tsuji Yuta.
Wait, is Zach fighting Sonata in the last match?
Hold that thought. Tsuji is fighting Jeff Cobb on the 14th.
Ah, oh, there you go.
And Zachary, nothing but the best for my prime minister. He is done with his league on the 8th, and his remaining matches are Evil on the 6th, Gabe Kidd on the 8th. Does anyone else have Zach? Hold on. Zach. He has Sonata on the 12th. and Shingo on tomorrow. I mean, sorry, not tomorrow, Saturday.
Okay, so, he's fighting Sonata.
Sonata's his last match.
I think they're going to be tied. That's my thing. That's my
thinking. He'll probably have the tiebreaker then.
Yes. And then Yoda-Suji, who was his last match? Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, I think it's Jeff, but let me double check because I hate reading these brackets. It's Suji. He's got Hinari on the, Narita on the 4th, Hinari on the 7th, Uemura on the 10th, and Jeff Cobb is on the 14th.
So I think, he needs to beat Jeff Cobb to beat the other person he'll be tied with.
Yeah.
That's you know, and however it's booked with, they got a pinfall over this person, blah, blah, blah.
So literally, Jeff's beaten Uemura, Goto, and Phantasmo.
So
Narita and Takeshita hold wins over Jeff Cobb, which is ridiculous. But I mean, not Takeshita, but Ren Narita in his current incarnation is ridiculous.
Wow. So Yoda-Suji, Zack Sabre Jr., we'll see when I cover the finals with you and Bruce. We'll see if that has happened. And you know what? I'm going to go with what you're saying. I think Zack Sabre Jr. should win the G1. Yes. I think it's his time. I think they're at a point in this company right now that, you know what, it's, you can do it and you should do it to freshen it up. He's so beloved among the fan base.
Absolutely.
I think he's gotten a lot of attention on him from his appearances on Dynamite. He had, I think, one of the best matches at Forbidden Door with Orange Cassidy.
Yeah. His match with Danielson.
Danielson, and he's gotten a lot of attention from those matches in AEW. So if you want to draw people to, you know, back into or get new fans to watch New Japan, maybe it's that guy that's a really good technical wrestler. He had those awesome matches with Orange and Danielson. I want to, he's champion over there. Let me watch that. Cause that's what happens. That's how it's done. So
like looking at the list of folks that are in the G1, when you think of who could main event against Naito, should he keep the belt until the Tokyo Dome? There are people, of course, Yoda-Suji, who I would love to see beat Naito. I just don't think we would see it this soon at the Tokyo Dome.
Hmm.
It's too, they're playing everything really, really, really safe right now. But Zach could easily slot into that. I mean, Shingo would be the other one, but we've seen Shingo. I love Shingo. I'm a huge Shingo stan. But Shingo's been champion. I want something new. I mean, David Finlay should be in the conversation, but they need to right the ship and do whatever they're doing with him and that global heavyweight championship belt. They need to sort him out and stop pulling the rug out from underneath him before we even worry about him going for the world championship again. So, yeah.
So, but yes. Sorry.
Uemura would be the other person I could possibly see going up because he seems to feel like one of the bigger projects for the G1. I don't know if they would have Takeshita go to the finals and only to have him lose to Zach. Because he already holds pins over several champions, which would set up his, basically a defense a road for him to always go to Wrestle Dynasty on the 5th of January.
So, with that being said, let's wrap up our New Japan talk with the preview of the upcoming shows that I will be covering with Eric Marcotte. G1 Climax at Yamato University Arena in Osaka. Surprisingly, not at Edion Arena. Might be already booked. For another event.
Yeah, summertime is concert season, so usually the bigger venues go real quick to bigger things that aren't wrestling.
So, August 3rd, 3 p.m. at Yamato University. That's in Japanese time. A block match, Shota Umino versus Sanada, Tetsuya Naito versus Gabe Kidd. Shingo, this is all A block, by the way. Shingo Takagi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Great Okan. Oh boy, versus Evil. Maybe we'll actually see some wrestling from these two. That's
how much padding is this going to have? I don't want a 25-minute wrestling match with them where 20 of the minutes is House of Torture run-in.
No, what if they have a 14-minute match that's just surprisingly just wrestling.
Sub 14 minutes, all wrestling. Yes, please. Remind people that Evil knows how to wrestle and he's not just there for his great hair and his barbarian cosplay.
And finally, Jake Lee versus Callum Newman. Maybe Jake is going to get another win. I think he will.
Possibly.
Uh, possibly. What's our main event on this show? Naito versus Kid?
One moment, please. Allow me to pull up the schedules. August 3rd. Sorry, I was like, wait, what day is it? Everything's bleeding together, WH.
All right.
So, no, you're fine. The main event that is... Woo! Zach versus Shingo is closing that show.
Oh. I think Zach's going to win that match.
Let's go! Of those five matches, that's probably the semi-main is Umino versus Sonata. Okay. But it's Shingo versus Zach that closing that show.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, that is the best match. On paper, for sure. And then... We'll move over to Aichi Prefectural Gymnasium, aka Dolphins Arena. That's it. That is in Nagoya. I'm correct, right?
Correct. That is in Nagoya.
Okay. Just want to make sure. These are all B block matches. El Fantasmo versus Yuya Uemura. Hiroki Goto versus Konosuke Takeshita in all caps.
It's so aggressive when it's in all caps. It's so much.
Yoda Tsuji versus Ren Narita. A lot of shenanigans in that match. Jeff Cobb versus Inari. Ooh, hard hitting. A lot of big boy slapping here. And finally, David Finlay is taking on young Bolton Oleg. I think David Finlay is probably going to pick up a win there. Karen, what is our main event for this? I'm going to guess it is. Would it be Jeff Cobb versus Inari, or would it be Yoda Tsuji versus Ren Narita?
It would not be Jeff Cobb versus Inari. It is Yoda Tsuji versus Ren Narita with the semi-main, which I'm just gonna say now, I'm gonna throw all the flowers I can at Hiroki Goto because this man understands the assignment of the G1. It's him versus Takeshita as the semi-main. So Tsuji versus Narita has a very tall order to follow. Because I know that with the shows I reviewed, all of the Goto matches are like, Goto has to be included because he's having a great G1. Is he winning every match? No, but he understands the assignment. He knows he's not supposed to win.
He's a pro's pro.
He is the workhorse of this G1.
Because like they didn't put fucking Tomohiro Ishii and fucking Yoshihashi.
All I was that's another set of trauma I got to unpack at some point. A G1 without Yoshihashi, what am I to do? So that is the closer for the second night that you are covering.
Well, I will be covering both these shows with Eric Marcotte. Tune into the Post Wrestling Cafe. Sign up if you haven't already. And listen to my thoughts on Evil in this match. Narita this match. God help me, the English commentary on both nights. Maybe that's worth the price of admission alone, because I feel there's a possible rant of epic proportions coming on. And there's one thing people enjoy, from what I understand, Karen, is like a passionate rant filled with profanity and like colorful metaphors. I can promise you all of that if I talk about English commentary.
But you got to pay for it. We're not giving it away for free.
That's right, freeloaders. I love you freeloaders on this show, but you got to pay to hear me talk about the English commentary as I experience it over the course of 2 fucking days and 8, what is it, 8 matches each night?
Nine match cards,
1, 2, 3. I might just skip all the undercard matches, to be honest with you, you know. But anyways,
there's four tags and then 5 main card matches.
You guys been covering the tags?
I mean, if there's anything of consequence or anything that kind of stands out, like, you know, when we did Fukuoka, Tanahashi showed up for the first time since not being in this G1 because it's Fukuoka and Tanahashi always goes to Fukuoka. But for me, I'm not going to be back until the semifinals on the 17th with our boss, your boss and mine, Mr. John Pollock. I am hoping that there is a Yujiro Takahashi free semifinal show, if only for John's sanity. But I also kind of want it just so I can hear John unpack his feelings about it in real time. Then the true never open 6-person tag champions of Post Wrestling, you, me, and Bruce, will be back together on the 18th for the finals.
That's right. All right, Pro Wrestling Noah. Let's move on to Pro Wrestling Noah. They have their N1 Victory Tour coming up. Unfortunately, Go Shizaki will not be able to participate because he suffered a fracture to the thoracic vertebrae. Whoa, this poor man in his spine, and won't be able to be in the ring for some time being. Go, just honestly, please, I'm sorry, just please retire. Like, you don't need wrestling. You are, I believe, a physical therapist, a successful one.
Really?
Be able, I'm pretty sure he's a physical therapist. That's his, like, other, that's his, like, day job, so to speak. If it's not his full-time job, you know what I mean? You need to be healthy to be able to be a physical therapist, I think. Yeah. So please just retire. You don't need to prove anything.
Go to the K-pop cafes and eat your cute cake and, like, play with your cats. Nobody will fault you for it.
Okay, so he'll be missing the N1, and they said they'll Noah has said they will, you know, they'll update the changes coming to the shows. We don't know, as far as I know right now, they have not announced.
I haven't seen anything.
A replacement for Go. I'm assuming one's going to happen. We'll see. Let's talk about the participants. It's very interesting, Karen. Very interesting. I think just on paper, this is way more interesting for me personally than the G1. So in A Block, we have Kaito Kimiya, who is, as I recall correctly, is the current GHC heavyweight champion.
I believe so.
And formerly Go Shizaki, but he is not going to be in the show on these shows. Masa Kitamiya, Ryoe Oiwa, still on excursion. he should just let his contract lapse and just sign with these guys. I'm telling you, Karen, he'll get a bigger push in Noah than he will in New Japan.
He's already gotten a large
Totally bigger star here than if he stayed or did his excursion somewhere else. Jack Morris, Dragon Bane, Louis Mante from Dragon Gate, and Josh Briggs from NXT is coming over.
Not my
who's the guy with the mullet again? What's his name?
I'm not like, current on NXT.
Will Buchanan's son, Brooks Jensen.
Oh, why not? Okay.
Give me my Brooks Jensen and him coming out to like fucking Separate Ways by Journey.
See,
you ever see that video of him coming out to that?
I'm going to have to chase it up.
I don't think it's available anymore because of copyright, but guess who has a copy on their phone?
I mean, if it were to find its way into my inbox for educational and scientific purposes for my homework here on, you know, post pro res.
Well, we'll see once we wrap it up on air here. B Block, Kenno, your boy and my boy, Karen, Kenno, Manabu Soya, Uka Sasaki, Yoichi,
all caps,
Dr. Wagner Jr. Alpha Wolf, Titus Alexander, and Tavion Heights. I do not know who Tavion Heights is.
I believe he is one of the newer faces of NXT.
I got to look this guy up. Like, why is he getting a spot over my boy Brooks Jensen?
You know what? Who I would think would be great for the N1 because they're not really doing anything, even though apparently they're champions in WWE at some point. I want to see Johnny Gargano in an N1 victory.
Listen,
I know it's more of a heavyweight tournament, but like I need.
Well, he's a tag champion. He's one of the SmackDown tag team champions, right? Know, so like that means more than actually being heavyweight. It's like, oh, he's one of their champions. We could, who would I want? I stay in NXT. You know, I why not Wesley? I like Wesley a lot.
Carmelo Hayes? He went up to the main roster finally, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They're not going to send anyone from main roster.
I know.
Or, you know what? Why not Charlie Dempsey? Send Charlie Dempsey. I don't know. Anyways, like, listen.
I have him work on the unofficial Triple Crown by just working all the Japanese indies and all the different, like, companies in Japan.
I eagerly await to see how they fare in a pro-res setting because they're only used to the hard cam in NXT yes. in Full Sail. So we'll see.
I'm also curious. I want to know who Manabu Soya's personal trainer is, because he is absolutely shredded right now. Like, I don't know what he's eating, what kind of workout plan he has, but he's like slimmed down so much so quickly.
He probably get rid of all the carbs, you know?
He looks like a completely different person right now.
I mean, if he's shredded.
I have
no given, rice.
No rice.
No which rice, is, which no is bread, great. Which is crazy in Japan.
Yeah.
Because none of those. Rice, none of those?
Bread or noodles. Those are your carbs.
It's probably just chicken.
Kind of what him and whatchamacallit? Who's in the other block? Him and Kitamiya, I want them to be the final. I know it's not going to be them in the finals, but that would be a great final.
I'm thinking Yoichi is going to the finals. I think he got the title.
You think he's the project right now?
I'd say he's totally a project, and he should be. He should be a project for sure. Either him, I think it's going to be Yoichi in leading his block in B block. And you know what? Ryoe Oiwa.
You have been winning the N1.
No. He goes to the finals, though.
I was going to say, what?
No. He goes to the I think he can go to the finals.
I wouldn't be mad at it. It'd be different.
He would go to the finals and he'd be like, damn, maybe I should just stay here. You should stay there. Oiwa, listen to me, bro. Just fucking stay there. Look what they're doing over at the other place where you're originally from. You're like, you know, the grass is green over here right now. First booking goes, and he's probably getting paid pretty decently.
It's Emerald's greener.
You know, like, or he would be getting paid pretty decently because I'm pretty sure his excursion is paid for by New Japan.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, so my prediction, we will follow this as it goes along. Yoichi, yeah, and Ryoe Oiwa, I could be completely wrong, but if I'm right, on your left. There you go. So the N1 will start this Sunday, August 4th at Yokohama Budokan in Kanagawa, and we'll wrap up September 1st, which is a Sunday at Edeon Arena Osaka. Cause
love me some Edeon BTS, Arena Osaka.
BTS or Blackpink aren't fucking playing Osaka that day. Because they love them some K-pop over in Japan. Let me tell you something. So 9 shows in total, which I think is perfect. That's a perfect amount of shows.
Overstay its welcome.
No. There you go. We'll be talking about this, the finals, as Karen and I come back from for the December edition of Post Fairs. We'll talk about the N1 and what happened and the aftermath of the G1 and Julia leaving and showing up in NXT. I said it. Anyways,
I wonder what's next for Julia.
For Julia. but next for us, and we're wrapping up this show with this, Takayama Empire 3 will happen on September 3rd at Korakuen Hall. And previously announced matches would be from Hard Hit. The Hard Hit promotion versus Hardcore Hikaru Sato. Oh no, not Hard Hit. Like, it's kind of like the style, you know, Hard Hit, Hikaru Sato and Takayuki Ueki versus Hideki Suzuki and Jun Kasai. So Hikaru Sato and Hideki Suzuki represent the hard hitting part of it. And then Takayuki Ueki and Jun Kasai represent the hardcore aspect of it. Hideki Suzuki and Jun Kasai is a very interesting tag team. Let me say that. It's very interesting. Soon to be retiring, Meiko Satomura will take on Shin Sakura Hirota, a.k.a. Shin Yoshihiro Takayama. Explain who Sakura Hirota is, Karen, for those listeners.
All right, so Sakura Hirota is – I don't want to say she's middle-aged, but she is an older female wrestler who kind of specializes in comedy and cosplay wrestling. Some of her more notable cosplays would be her Hanakamura ones that she does for the memorial shows. Personally, I liked her Konosuke Takeshita cosplay. If you guys can find that one, she actually wears like a muscly rubber suit too. So she kind of has she can do shirtless Takeshita without getting arrested for being topless. I believe she has done in the past a Meiko Satomura cosplay as well. So yeah, it's if she can lean into making Mako Satomura, who is now in the midst of her countdown, do a comedy match, I'm very excited for it.
Team 300 kilogram showdown, Masao Inoue, Chihiro Hashimoto, and you versus Jun Akiyama, Shuji Ishikawa, and Hiroyu Matsumoto. Wow. Wow. That's interesting. Before we talk about the main event, which is a doozy, newly announced match that they made, Naomichi Marufuji and Dashinoku Dino will take on Kikutaro.
And that was a very dramatic pause.
Ryo Nahama, it's to express my disgust at saying that name. Not Ryo Tohama. Anyways, yes, that'll be full of like innuendo and bad, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, if you know Dino, you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, main event, Garen, holy shit. Minoru Suzuki will face Katsuyori Shibata.
I believe this was the match they announced first when they first announced the show. Like,
probably, yeah.
When they announced it, I texted it to my friend and I'm like, Will, this match? And he's like, wait, is it? I'm like, it is.
Can you imagine like Cork and Hall going nuts when his music hits? And I'm talking about Minoru Suzuki.
There's going to be tears. People will be crying. There will be a lot of crying.
This first match is his first time in wrestling in Japan is going to be on this show because he's not allowed. He was not allowed to wrestle and he's perfectly fine in AEW. Yeah,
the closest he was able to do was the exhibition match and then the one at Wrestle Kingdom against Ren Narita. That was the most he's done in Japan since coming back.
Give me my Katsuyori Shibata Orange Cassidy man, tag team. Just give it to me.
That is the buddy cop. That is the roommate drama I want. I want them to have their own reality TV show with the two of them.
Special guests appearing on throughout the show. Wow. Kenta Kobashi, Kazuo Yamazaki, one of my favorite G1 finalists. Fuck, he's so great. Such a great wrestler. Someone who's not a great wrestler, Sanshiro Takagi. And someone who ended up not being a great wrestler at the end, Keiji Muto. But he was a great wrestler for many, many, many years. One of my favorites for many, many years. Not the end of his career, though, unfortunately. Sorry to say. But that should be a great show. I hope to be able to watch it somehow. And so does Karen. If I'm able to watch it somehow, Karen will somehow be able to watch it.
My birthday's coming up, WH. I want to watch the show.
Guess what? So is my birthday.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, you know, before we go, Karen, yes. I do want to, we talked about this over at MCU Later, and that would be the new t-shirt we have. Whoops.
It's very nice.
And then I'm just going to pop up the MCU Later page here. Look at that. Look at that design. I should just click on the t-shirt.
It's really cute.
All right. So this is the new t-shirt. It's designed by Josh Rosen, who is a good friend and colleague of mine. He designed the Five Pillars Long and Winding Railroad show, shirt. And I said, Josh, you want to, I got this idea for the new MCU Later shirt. Would you like to do it? And he said, sure. What is it? What's the idea? And it's based on a comic book, Karen. It's Power Man and Iron Fist number 50. Okay. If you look that up, you'll see the inspiration for this shirt and that's of course Rich Fan to your left and me in my MCU Later hoodie and the hat I'm wearing right now, the post wrestling hat. And my cargo shorts. There you go. And it also depicted on this our MCU Later regulars Scrump and Nate Milton. And of course we had to have, you know, the guy who started MCU Later with me, but abdicated his position to be a father, a great father. That's my friend, your friend, Karen Waiting, wearing the Infinity Gauntlet. God damn it. You know what he said when he saw this? I showed this to him, the early stages, he goes, what the fuck? I'm Thanos? Awesome. Listen, folks, if you want to wear Waiting as Thanos, on your body, and I know you do, go to chopped-tees.com, go to the MCU Later page, It's not, it's $42 Canadian, but it's cheaper if you're in the US. Maybe. It might be cheaper if you buy from, anyways. It's all local, suppliers, vendors. So your carbon footprint will be minimized. Okay. And it'll get to you really fucking quick. You don't have to pay a fucking customs charge. Okay. Cause it's going to be made in your fucking country. There's like, it's, and the shipping is included. Oh my God, Karen.
So the t-shirt for those on the United States dollar is $25 US. It's a steal.
It's a steal. Go buy it.
Buy his shirt.
That's right.
Support the guys.
That's right. You know, not just me, Rich. Rich too. Rich deserves it. He drove 5 hours from Pittsburgh to come to Toronto, yeah? Karen? You know,
hey,
what I'm saying?
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
We are fans of Rich Fan here at Post Pro Res.
We are. But yes, Chopped Hyphen Tees. And you know what? If you don't want to buy this one, that's fine. There's lots of other shirts out there, like the Post Pro Res t-shirt, either of the Long and Winding Railroad t-shirts. You know, they're all out there. They're all out there. You know what? There might be some more Long and Winding Railroad merch that Dickie Bird has shown me that we're not debuting yet, but might be coming soon.
Woohoo! Let's go.
I'll let him make the announcement on the socials. Anyways, Karen, where can people find more of you?
I mean, you can always find me at postwrestling.com. Again, Dream Slam Monthly. It's my Joshi column. If you're curious about women's wrestling in Japan, just drop on by. Read a little bit. Sometimes I'm able to find matches that are linked on official channels, so... If you want a little bit of a sampler.
Not to interrupt you. I apologize.
You're fine.
If you want the best analysis and like roundup of what's happening in Joshi, it's easy to follow. It's so informative.
Thank you.
It's in-depth. Like, you can go to these
almost to a fault. I get stressed out. I get stressed out every month when I do it.
But it shows. It's the level of care and love you have for the scene. It comes through, Karen.
Thank you.
Listen, you can go to other fucking blogs, whatever fucking, you know, live journals, if that's still a thing.
It's still a thing. Websites.
And I guarantee you, none of them are going to be as good as Karen.
Aw, thanks.
Talking about this stuff. It you know, like, what's happening in Diana? Maybe I'm going to pop up Dream Slam Monthly and say, there's fucking Diana news right there.
Sometimes there is, sometimes there's not.
What's happening with Marvelous? Well, maybe I'm just going to go to the Marvelous post-wrestling website.
Go watch all of Takumi Iroha, everything. She is everything.
She's marvelous, she is.
She is actually marvelous. But yeah, other than that, you can find me on some social media at Hey Karen Sensei. If you find me on Facebook and I don't know you, please don't follow me. It really weirds me out. But other than that,
you have any follow requests I delete because they're like all like, you know, like, I don't know, escorts or something like that on Instagram. I'm like,
wow.
Who the fuck are you? And then I click and I'm like, nah, it's phishing.
And also, this is more of a personal note. Kindly don't DM me if I don't really know you, because I've been getting some very uncomfortable and weird ones lately. So I've had to shut down my DMs. Don't be that person, because that's not cool. Like, don't make it weird. Please don't make it weird. But other than that, we will meet again on, I believe, the 5th of September for Post Pro Res September 2024. And
that's
then,
right.
Yeah, we'll rinse, wash, jeez, repeat.
We're coming up to the end of the year. Jesus.
I don't know. I'm not ready for my birthday in less than a month.
I'm not ready for my birthday. Anyways, you can find me Post Wrestling, Post Wrestling Cafe, MCU Later, G1, couple of G1 reviews. Looking forward to it. I'm going to do it with Eric Ricott. I'm going to do it with Karen Peterson, Bruce Lord. I'm looking forward to doing both those shows. Long and Winding Railroad. We're taking a break this month just because, like, I've been, you know, I need a bit of a break. I'm going to line up, I guess, for a September episode for the Long and Winding Railroad. We're going to go back to a match review. I haven't found a guest yet. I haven't thought of who I'm going to ask to be on it, but I will I will find somebody and hopefully they'll see us. Usually they do. Like, it's very nice. Yeah. My socials, I don't give a shit. Follow me, don't follow me. Fuck, I don't care. I don't, that's not something that interests me anymore in my life. It's like, I hardly go on that shithole called Twitter, or X or whatever the fuck Elon wants to call it.
You can't find anything on it anymore.
He says he's just a dumb fuck. I hate that guy. Anyways, hey, everyone, take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of your summer. It's, I don't know about where you live. It's been fucking hot. Stay hydrated, everyone. Seriously, yeah. Stay hydrated. Don't put on the sunscreen, please, and stay in the shade.
Wear your hat. Put your sunglasses on.
That's right. Wear your post-wrestling cap that you
That
can
is a nice hat, sir.
You can't get this one anymore, the dad hat. You get the flex fit, though.
Oh, they
Those
have
are
a
nice. Or, a snap, or the snapback, if you're a snapback person.
I don't look good with a flat bill.
Neither do I, so I don't wear mine. I don't wear them. But thank you very much for supporting the show. If you do buy merchandise over at chop-tees.com, I appreciate all your support. And until next time, for Karen, I will say goodbye and see ya.